going to have several share with us today from the scriptures and read some of Marilyn's favorite scriptures. But Reverend Bill Fuller, William Fuller, who's with us every Sunday, is also, he and his wife, very, very close to Marilyn. And I've asked Bill if he wouldn't come up and share some of the facts from her life. And as we unfold this day, we'll share the scriptures and we'll have some thoughts from the scriptures for you. But then we're also going to take time for those who want to share some personal stories about what Marilyn made, how she made a difference in your life and what she meant to you. We'll take time for that as well. Bill, will you come, please?
Marilyn Lee, born Marilyn June Lee, 1946 to 2010. Marilyn June Lee, 64 years of age, of Port Ludlow, Washington, went to be with her beloved Savior on Saturday, September 18, 2010. Unexpectedly, from the complications of diabetes, while at her home. I'd like to add that she was probably the oldest living diabetes survivor of type 1 diabetes. And she constantly told us, "I just want to go home. I just want to go home." And she finally made it. Marilyn was born on July 1, 1946 in Compton, California. She was the daughter of Helen Elizabeth Thornton and William Vincent Thornton of California. She has one sister, Elaine K. Reynolds of Big Bear, California. As Marilyn grew up in the family home for her two orphan cousins, Karen Harrison and Colleen Grover, lived with her family. Her happiest times growing up were in the backyard riding horsey pony that her father made for her, and being a cowgirl with the boys in the neighborhood who were playing cowboys and Indians. Marilyn graduated from Long Beach State University in California in 1966 and followed her mother into a teaching career. The same year, she married Mr. Dan Lee. She taught for 9 years in Garden Grove, California, before moving in 1975 to Washington State, where she took a position teaching second grade at then Bremerton Christian School. She taught there 1 year before Pastor Jed Minton recruited her to be the principal of the newly formed South Kitsap Christian School at his church, Christian Life Center. She ably performed that role from 1976 to 1985. In 1986, she went back to the classroom, which she loved. She began teaching third graders at Christ the King Academy in Paulsbow until 1999. Her husband preceded her in death in 2001, and Marilyn found a school closer to her home, Orca Academy, and continued to share her enthusiasm for learning with elementary-age kids until the closure of that school in 2008. She was currently helping homeschool students in Port Townsend. Several of them are here today. Marilyn will be treasured by all who knew her. She often described herself as a feisty redhead. And she was, too. Because she was energetic about everything she did. She exercised daily by swimming and walking her dog Shamba on the beach in Port Ludlow. Marilyn enjoyed travel and had visited extensively in the European countries, including Israel, Greece, Italy, Turkey, Spain, Ireland, Scotland, and Wales. Because she was unable to travel alone, Marilyn blessed many fortunate friends by generously paying their way so they could come with her on her trips. The most important part of Marilyn's life was her relationship with her Savior, Jesus Christ. She desired to please Him in everything she did. Marilyn has been a member of Grace Christian Center for the past 9 years. We loved her very much, and she will be greatly missed.
Thank you, Bill. John 11:25-27. Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" She said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. Praise God, that's what she's doing right now.
I'd like to share for just a second so I don't have to come up again later. You know, pastors are supposed to have all the answers, which is absolutely not the truth. But one thing about Marilyn, she had all the questions. And you didn't dare say, sure, I'll be glad to talk with you, unless you had a good amount of time and knew how to handle some reference books, because you were in for a good, thorough interrogation about whatever it is that was bothering her on that particular day. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words.
Would you please stand?
In today's day and age, as you know, and as you've experienced along with me, everyone needs hope. Can I see a show of hands? How many believe that that's true? The problem is, everyone longs for it, but in our society, it comes up short. Have you noticed, along with me, that people seem to be more angry than ever? Short tempers, less hope, economic difficulties, suicide rates escalate, marriages end in defeat, and you look at me about now and say, wait a minute, I thought you were going to celebrate. Isn't this good news we're supposed to be sharing? It also seems like at times people expect perfection of one another. And if we do that here on this earth, we're going to always come up disappointed. But in Jesus, there is hope. That's him calling right now. In Jesus, there is hope. In a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, there's hope. There's a life that changes. There's forgiveness. There's peace. There's mercy. There's all of those great things that are available. There's a real heaven and a real hell, and it's just vital that we know our destiny like Marilyn did. We're here to celebrate our life. That's what it's all about. Our sister in the Lord. Our strong and determined and sometimes stubborn red-headed friend. She loved Jesus with her whole heart. She loved the Word of God. Now, we'll take time for sharing a little bit later, but I'm going to just take a moment. I'll tell you one of the things I loved about Marilyn the most. I respected the determination Marilyn Lee took to the Bible as she lived in the Word of God day in, day out. If she didn't understand something, she pressed it. And if there are issues she had, I imagine if she got to, she took out a long list for Jesus saying, okay, now, time to talk. But she had a determination to take to the Word of God. Our friend loved to worship, loved to study. She loved these hymns and these gospel songs, and she loved children. But more than anything else, just like we sang, she loved Jesus. Here's one of her favorite verses. I'm going to share it with you out of several different versions. In the King James, it says, Jeremiah 29, verse 11, "For I know the thoughts that I, the Lord, think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give an expected end," it says in the King James. In the New King James, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil." Can you say the next phrase with me? I know you're not supposed to talk at a memorial service, but I really wish you would. Would you say it with me, please? A future a future and a hope. Out of the New American Standard Bible. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Out of the Message, it says, I know what I'm doing, the Lord says. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. Let me read it from one more version, the New Living Translation. For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. They're plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. God has good plans. Say that with me, would you please? God has good plans. Now we get ourselves, and don't just look holy at me, we get ourselves all agitated sometimes, don't we? Look at each other and say, I know you do. And sometimes we feel turmoil at the drop of a hat and frustration and misunderstanding and difficulties and confusion. But one thing's for certain, our Lord is never shaken and never agitated. He is our rock, our fortress, our shield, the very foundation of life. This verse tells us He has plans for us. Out of the Hebrew, when you look in the language, the word is makashabah, and it means His intention, His plan. His good advice, His imagination, His purpose and His thought toward you and me. What is it? Well, watch how the next two verses unfold. Jeremiah 29, 12 and 13. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me and I will listen to you. You'll seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Out of the Message. When you call on me, you'll come and pray to me. I'll listen. When you come looking for me, God says, you'll find me. Yes, when you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else. And out of the New Living, in those days when you pray, I will listen. If you'll look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. So what's God's good plan? That we find Him. His good purpose, that we find Him. And that Hebrew word for find literally means that we acquire Him. It means you're going to God with the longing of your heart first and foremost to know Him, His plan, His purpose, His destiny. And that is what our friend Marilyn did. Search for Him. The Hebrew word is derash, and it means to tread or frequent, to seek or ask, to worship, to diligently inquire. Do you know any better word to describe of Marilyn? To seek, to search, to diligently inquire, and every chance she could, as healthy as she could be, she found her way to church to worship the Lord. She found her way to our Bible study and grace gathering, and many of you have known her for a long time. She found some way to work Jesus into the conversation, even if it wasn't always pleasant. She just loved the Lord so much. Now, where's Marilyn? According to the Scripture, we know she has found Him face to face. Secondly, God has thoughts, the Scripture says, of peace. Now, when you know Him as your personal Lord and Savior, as Marilyn did, you're at peace with God. Have you ever had conflict with anyone? Okay. It's not easy when you're not on the same page. It gets frustrating, it gets discouraging, or maybe you get angry, or whatever it might be. But when that lack of peace is between you and God, then it's really lack of peace. But God says, I've got plans for peace for you. So how do we get that? We settle our relationship with the Lord. The Scripture says how to make things right with each other if there are difficulties. We go to one another. We get things right. If I've offended you or you've offended me, we do our best, if we know about it, to go make things right. We don't go tell somebody else because that never makes things right. Anybody say amen? Okay, that doesn't get it right. But if you have a problem or a conflict with someone, you go to that person, the Bible says. When you go to God, you make your relationship right with Him. When you yield your life to Jesus, He knows you. He loves you. He's got a great plan for your life. And you might look at me and say, but Pastor Kevin, I'm retired. That's all right. He loves you too. relationship. Make it right with God. And that word peace, his thoughts are thoughts of peace. You know what that Hebrew word is? You've heard of it. It's called shalom. Say the word with me, would you? Shalom. It means to be well off or happy, friendly. You're in health, prosperity, and peace. And the Bible says that's what God wants to give. Peace. The Bible tells us sin separates us from God. But it also says there's a Redeemer and His name is Jesus. And He came to take that sin away that separates you from Him. Marilyn settled the issue. She made sure she could easily sing that song, "It is well with my soul." The best gift that you can give to someone else when you pass is the knowledge that your friends and family can know that you're in heaven with Jesus. That's the best gift you can give. My wife passed away 11 years ago. The best gift I had was knowing that she went right into the arms of Jesus. And my son watched an angel carry her away into the presence of the Lord. And you know what? I just happen to believe, I don't know this for sure, that she and Marilyn are probably sitting down having a conversation right now. In which Gail's probably saying, "So you discovered he's kind of crazy too." But she's enjoying the Lord. That's a gift. All right, so God's got thoughts of peace. No separation. No division. Shalom. Shalom, Marilyn, our precious friend. And then God gives us a future and a hope. Now, in the King James, that phrase in the Hebrew is expected end. And it's tikva akarith. Can you say that with me? Tikva akarith. And tikva, expected, means literally a cord or an attachment. Akarith means my last end or expectancy, prosperity, the future. What does your future hold? You know the old phrase, don't you? There's only a couple of things that are for certain. You can finish it with me, can't you? That's right. I didn't want to say that. Sure glad you did. But destiny, ultimate destiny, is a choice each of us make. Revelation 3 was quoted here today. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open to me, I'll come in to him." John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." When you surrender your life to Jesus, literally in the Hebrew, the perspective is He gives you a cord and eventually simply brings you to Himself. Do you have your cord today? The scarlet cord? The scarlet thread? The Scripture talks about, as we come to a close of this part, that there's a future. And there's a hope, and there's a destiny, and there's an end. In the Old Testament, Joshua led the children of Israel, and when they went into Jericho, there were spies sent into the land, and there was a prostitute named Rahab who protected the Israeli spies. And she said, as they were departing to go report back to their camp, she said, "Please protect my family and me." They gave her this one instruction: "If you will put in your window a scarlet thread or a rope, we will know who you are and where you live." Yes. Now, Jesus died upon a cross and shed His blood. And He gives to those who surrender to Him a scarlet covering, a rope of red. And someday, He will look at you and me and He will say, "It's time for me to pull you to me." And our precious friend Marilyn had Jesus just pull on the scarlet thread. And He gave her, and that's literally the Hebrew meaning, if you will, of a future and a hope. Jeremiah 29:11. I want to read it one more time. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. If your future and your hope is yet uncertain, I urge you like Marilyn, make it secure in Jesus. There are several who would love and be honored to pray for you as we conclude this time today. If you're not sure, if you are, celebrate. But today is about remembering Marilyn, who made that choice and is now celebrating her future and her hope. Lord, we thank you for our precious friend. And as we get ready now to share from the memories that we have of her life, we thank you that you are her future and her hope. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're the Lord of her life. She loves so much. And we take example from her life today. We take encouragement from her life today as we celebrate our dear sister in Jesus. And all the people said, amen. Amen. What I'd like to do is open this up for a time of sharing. Many of you have precious memories. And as we get started, let me just share. I had a long conversation yesterday with Tom McReynolds, her brother-in-law. And you know Marilyn's sister, would have loved to have been here. And it's about 3 years ago now that she suffered a stroke. I have not seen very often in my life a more devoted sister than Marilyn was to her sister. She called her virtually every single day. And it's amazing thing. She can communicate and share and all of those kinds of things. And I know she is frustrated by not being here, she and Tom. They would have been here if it would have all been possible. Tom shared a few thoughts with me I thought I would pass them all on to you. He said, you know, he came up this summer. He felt compelled by the Lord to come and to stay extra days. He stayed several extra days beyond what he was planning to. They had an absolutely great visit. And he says, you know, Kevin, he says, I understand she had heart problems, but we took a hike up a mountain and we went back to Merrimer Falls, and she was a trooper and she hiked and she wanted to hike and she didn't act like somebody who had any heart problems. And she went out the day she died. She went out and washed her car and she went swimming and she talked to Tom twice about different issues that would rise. And Tom said to me that Marilyn Lee, his words, is the most morally grounded person I have ever known in my entire life. And she was a crucial and vital part of Tom and Elaine's lives. And they talked all the time, and again, twice, just last Saturday. I remember our friend who was so determined to be like Jesus and to do what he wanted her to do. Such great memories. Let's share some. Who's got some memories to share this morning? Yes, Bill, this afternoon. Can you all hear in the back? Got to really boom them out here. Let's try to do this, but I don't know if this will reach. Yeah, come on up, friend. I know you're not, my friend.
This is from my daughter, Kay. Kay was the head of the school in Orca for a good number of years. Marilyn was a good friend and, more importantly, a wonderful sister in Jesus who loved him with all her heart, mind, and soul. She had a passion that was a gift from God, to work with children, to teach them and help them discover the wonders of creation and language, mathematics, and the unfolding history of God's story. She was a servant and had a servant's heart. I think most of all, she just wanted to be loved, as a kind word, a smile, or a simple hug would brighten her day. She was always smiling. And I look forward to embracing her again one day and seeing a smile that will truly never fade in the light of God's glory on Marilyn's face. She is my sister. And I know we will have the awesome privilege of standing together in a cloud of witnesses before the throne of grace, crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lamb who was slain Thank you, Jesus. Kay Hammond, little sister.
Who else? Yes, Leslie.
Okay, I'm at Marilyn. We were still on Swansonville Road in the log cabin. But she was like a mentor to me. I could call her up and things that I would remember in the Bible, I could call Marilyn, ask her, and she'd know right where they were. And she used to always say, she'd say, Leslie, I would rather believe all my life and there be nothing than not believe and there be something. And Marilyn was just the most bright. She always just had a light within. And any question I had, you know, she always knew where everything was in the Bible and explained it to me. And I just really love her and miss her. But I know heaven's more happy with her there.
Amen. Beautiful. Yes, Jeannie.
Marilyn was a very special young lady, and she collected bells. I collect eagles. She came to my home one day with a little eagle about this wide and about this tall, and a little stand with a little hole in the top. The eagle's beak sits in the stand, and as it sits and balances in the stand, the eagle is constantly flying. That is a gift that I will treasure every day of my life. But Marilyn always knew, without a shadow of a doubt, Marilyn knew she was one of God's chosen angels.
What a glorious time we've had together as we've celebrated the life of our precious sister. We could go on and on and on, but what we need to do now is close and give thanksgiving for the life that we were able to partake of. There'll be refreshments, and there'll be time to take and continue to share with one another. But as we go from this place, go with the presence of the Lord, the peace of His joy, and of His love. Go knowing that the Lord who so loved Marilyn, so loves you. Go listening to Marilyn's voice. A future and a hope is yours in the Lord. Let's stand. Lord, we thank You that as we come and yield our lives to You, as we surrender to You, as we repent of our sins and surrender and ask You to take over our lives completely, O Lord, then we know we have this gift of grace, this future, this hope, this precious relationship with Jesus. Bless each one that's come here today, Lord. And as we go from this place, we go with our hearts and our lives richer by far because Marilyn's been such a part of us. We give her back to You now, Lord, with thanksgiving. Take good care of her. And we know You do. And we know You are. We pause now to give thanks. Right where you are, can you just say, thank You. Thank You, Lord, for the gift of our friend. Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26 says, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Be blessed in His presence. Lord, we thank You for this time together. And they all said,
amen.
Amen. Be released. Thank You for coming.